Welcome back to the Saturday Show here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Michelle Bodkin, Jay Catch, breaking things down every Saturday. Thank you for tuning in. All right, Michelle, I threw this out earlier in the show. It's on social media. I've asked questions to both the Utah and BYU side about what they about what both fan bases think the future for Utah should be in terms of expansion or conference realignment. Now, I threw it out on Twitter. We're at 159 votes on the Utah side of things as of right now, 179 votes in on the BYU one. The question essentially remains the same. If all options are on the table for Utah in conference realignment, what's your preference? What do you want to see happen? From the Utah side, the responses were remain with the Pac-12, join the Big 12, hold out for Big 10 or other, independence, etc. Currently, join the Big 12 is still winning that poll, 34.6%. Remain with the Pac-12 in second with 29.6%. Hold out for the Big 10 is just over 16%. And then other is 19.5%, which is interesting to me. I'm guessing, I'm not going to lie, I think that's more BYU fans because the other, I think, implies
Mountain
go back
West.
To the Mountain West. Go to the Big Sky.
I'm just going to throw this out here. Not likely to happen. No. I mean, I suppose in some like very, very strange alternate universe, but come on, guys. Yeah. It's top 20, consistent top 25 team. Somebody's going to take them.
Yeah. Now, on the BYU side, the responses were for Utah to stay in the Pac-12, join BYU in the Big 12, go to Mountain West, slash Independence, or other. Go to Mountain West, slash Independence, because BYU fans are having fun with this. 40.8% of the vote. Join BYU in the Big 12, though, still pretty strong. 36.9%. 20.1% for staying in the Pac-12. So some pretty strong back and forth on this. But, yeah, there are the BYU fans out there who are like, heh, go back to the Mountain West, see how it is. Go independent, see how easy that is. Like,
yeah.
So be it. But what makes this rivalry great, Michelle? It never, literally ever stops.
No, they always find something to bicker about. They really do. They really do.
Give them 5 minutes. They'll
find something.
They'll figure it out.
They'll find something.
That's the fun part about all this is we get to kind of sit back and watch it all kind of play out. But it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. By the way, there is the BYU 50 deal is ongoing right now in the state of Utah. They did it across the country last week. Apparently, they have multiple locations across the state. You can actually win. I think the out-of-state people, they were actually, if you won it, they're flying you in for a BYU game.
Dang.
Like, I know. So I don't know what the BYU giveaway, like in-state factors, it may be tickets. I think it's for the homecoming game against Texas Tech.
Huh.
But anyways, I just kind of funny to watch all that playing out in real time because they went multiple occasions in multiple, like across the entire country last week. But like, I think Texas had four different locations that they were getting. Like, so they're flying a lot of people in. Delta's part of this and everything, but to fly multiple people in from across the country to...
That's crazy.
I don't know, crazy stuff.
Somehow, well, actually, it's probably because I was really focused in on Pac-12 Media Day.
It was, because like, it took place last Saturday is when it was
going
down.
Yeah, so. I was like, I did not hear anything about this, so this is news to me. But
you were both engaged with Pac-12 Media Day as well as you were...
My family. My family. I really did try to not pay attention to anything.
Good for you, as you should. All right. We are joined now by Spencer McLaughlin. He hosts both the Locked On Pac-12 podcast as well as Locked On Ducks, covering the Oregon Ducks. He is also a commentator for Southern Utah Sports down in Cedar City. A good friend. Spencer, thank you for taking the time joining Michelle and I. How are you?
Hey, it's great to be on with you guys. And I'm just always anxiously awaiting the next shoe to drop in all of this craziness.
Hey, welcome to the party.
It's just the state of college sports right now, it feels like.
Yeah, I don't think there's any other way to describe it other than, you know, we're just always thinking about what's next and what's the next move and who's moving and who's jumping and what does that mean for this. And, I mean, it's of all the off-season stories to keep us busy until football gets back, this is a heck of a story, I tell you.
Well, and that's the thing. So some of our coworkers here at the station, I was actually talking with one of them earlier this week, Spencer, and he and I were going back and forth, and we both agreed this conference realignment, this off-season alone, it's been the gift that keeps giving. Because it literally, you think it's going to kind of fade away,
yeah,
And the next week,
roaring back.
Exactly. It's just been absolutely insanity. And now, of course, I've been listening to you doing Locked On Pac-12. I feel like you have covered this from almost every angle possible. Now, you have obviously new angles that pop up at all times. But give me a feeling for how you look right now with Colorado officially exiting the Pac-12 next year, going to the Big 12. The nine remaining schools in the Pac right now, what do you think their priority should be at this current circumstance?
Well, you know, the school that everyone's talking about the most is Arizona, because Arizona has had their president, Robert Robbins, make the most, open comment, shall we say, with regards to hinting at the possibility of going to the Big 12. And look, the comment that I'm referring to was, you know, from the past several months, everything blurs together. I don't remember when it was, but I do know that it happened. I'm not making it up. I know that it happened. I just, if people are wondering, like, oh, I wonder when he said that. I don't know. Don't ask me. So,
I feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The comment was basically saying, look, we want to be in the Pac-12. This is where we want to be. This is where we're here for a reason. We're not leaving. We're not going anywhere. But also, we have to do, you know, what's in the best interest of Arizona. You know, he made a comment that we're in driving distance to Lubbock, which is, of course, a Big 12 city with Texas Tech. So I think Arizona is the logical next school to watch here. There's been the most buzz around them. But, you know, I continue to be perplexed that, you know, their president, after Colorado left, was still willing to give the Pac-12 time to try and finish a deal so that he could see, or presidents and the chancellor, George Kliavkov, he said, look, we want to see the deal. That's where we've always been. That has been his position, is they want to be in the Pac-12. They do not want the Big 12, or they would have gone already. They want to be in the Pac-12. They want to see the deal. They want to compare the offers. They want to take the better offer. Everything about that is very logical. But what is curious, at the very least, at this juncture, is Colorado leaves because they got impatient, were tired of waiting for the deal. Why did Colorado feel like they had to jump and couldn't wait any longer, but Arizona hasn't left yet? I think that's an interesting question to ponder. You could look at potential ties in the University of Arizona school system with Arizona State. You could look at maybe they actually do want to see the Pac-12 media deal and think that one can still get done even without the Buffs being a part of it. But there is some reason out there why they didn't immediately follow Colorado, because you know Arizona or the Big 12 is looking at Arizona and just waiting for them to jump over into their waiting and open arms.
So Spencer, do you think part of the reason why maybe Arizona is a little more patient is that President Robbins does sit on the board of like the board of executives, and so he might have a little more information that say Colorado does not currently have at the moment?
I don't know why one president would have more information than another. You know, if what we've seen reported so far has been that Colorado wanted to see a deal, not necessarily sign the deal in the grant of rights, but they wanted to see a deal with hard numbers last week. Mm-hmm. And when that didn't happen, it was the final straw. They'd talked with the Big 12 for a while and said, look, we want to see what we have over here because this is where we'd like to be. But they were getting impatient. They're ushering in a new era of football with Deion Sanders, and they, you know, wanted to be secure in knowing that they're going to have a television deal, that they're going to have, you know, at least some money coming in from the conference and everything like that, and that they would be sure as to what it is so that they can allow Deion and his coaches to focus on football. And, you know, apparently they, understandably, in my view, because this has been such a long, drawn-out process, they got to the point where they said, look, if you can't give us a deal right now, we're just going to go. We're just going to go. We're tired of waiting. We're tired of guessing. We're tired of hoping. We're tired of talking, tired of all that sort of stuff. And I understand that,
totally.
Especially when you have the Deion component in there. I had somebody tell me recently or just make an interesting point. New coaches are translating into new conferences. Lincoln Riley, new coach, new conference. Deion Sanders, new coach, new conference. It's not exclusive, of course, but you know, to every new coach. But I do think that there is a component to that with, you know, kind of the feeling of resetting, restarting, relaunching your brand, your team, your program, everything, and having a fresh start in a new conference. I think those things can align at some level. So that might be part of the calculation for Arizona as well, is that, you know, they are entering year three of the rebuild with Jed Fish, and it's well underway. Like, their momentum is stable, but Colorado, you know, wants to be sure, and I think Arizona feels they can, you know, compete or have a place in either conference, which obviously they can. But, you know, back to the president's question, I don't know how. I mean, it would be, in my view, gross mismanagement, of which we've already seen some, obviously, from George Kliavkov, to have one president knowing something that another president does not with regards to the media deal. Like, what is the advantage there, other than I think that there are no advantages. You isolate somebody if you were to do that. So I think it was about Colorado, not about, you know, what one person knew versus others. I think Colorado just doesn't see as viable the future on the media rights front, and Arizona thinks there's still a chance, or maybe this, you know, is all a moot conversation come Monday morning.
Spencer McLaughlin joining us, host of Locked On Pac-12 podcast, as well as the Locked On Ducks podcast. And Spencer, I know you're from the Pacific Northwest, and a lot of eyes were cast that way in terms of, okay, who could be next? And Jason Scheer from Wildcat Authority says that he's like, it's not somebody you're thinking of. And a lot of people immediately are like, Oregon, Washington? Like, who? Give me your sense for the appetite for either Huskies or Ducks fans to jump to the Big 12.
From the fan bases?
Yeah.
Minimal. Okay. From the schools, it might not be. I'm not saying it's non-existent, but look, I personally don't want any more realignment. Like, this stuff is interesting. It's fascinating. It's been leading my show for a long, long time, for the most part, for the last many, many months, and trying to read between the tea leaves and getting hints and quotes and everything like that, and all these, you know, bogus statements from the Pac-12. We're united. Yeah, all right, cool. But so I just feel like they are in a position now where you would like to think that you could still have your traditional rivalries with PAC schools and you could keep things where you were at. But the future of the athletics department is not up to the fans. So, you know, how they feel about stuff I don't think is particularly relevant. You know, in my experience, USC fans are thrilled about going to the Big Ten, and there are a lot of Pac-12 fans that say, don't let the door hit you on the way out. They don't like USC fans a whole heck of a lot all the time. But UCLA fans that I've interacted with or that I've met, I actually played with one with a couple a while back after the move got announced down in St. George out of Copper Rock. Of course, I know you enjoy Jake, and it's my favorite down there in St. George. But I was playing with him and asked him about it, and he thought that it sucked. And I said, do you know a lot of other UCLA fans? He said, yeah, friends with a lot of my buddies from college and whatnot. We all think it sucks and that it stinks. And, you know, I think for Oregon and Washington, at the end of the day, they're going to come to terms with whatever's in the best interests of their athletic department. There are some who, you know, just feel like they want to get out of the pack, but only because of the mismanagement, not because they, you know, want to leave behind the geography or the traditional rivalries or the history in the conference, but because they just want to be secure in knowing what their sports future is going to look like and that they're going to have a chance, you know, competitively and financially to compete at a high level.
Even with Colorado leaving, the PAC has a good foundation, especially with Washington, Oregon, Utah, that realistically – those are kind of the ones that have carried the conference over the past 13 years. Those are the ones that have won the most championships, at least in football, and just been more consistent players. Do you see any way for the Pac-12 or Pac-9 or whatever to fix this, hold it together, and still have a compelling conference? And if so, what would those steps entail?
Well, John Wilner of the Mercury News and the Wilner Hotline show, he has said that media people that were – he said the other day on Paul Feinbaum's show that media people that are not in the Big 12 or the Pac-12 still think there's a deal out there to be had for the Pac-12. And I'm just kind of done with words at this point. Like, I've been hearing that for a long time, but here we are, and we got another school jump. But to your point, it's not as if conference powerhouse in Colorado has suddenly jumped. Like, you could certainly frame this in a way. It wouldn't be an honest way of framing the argument. But if I wanted to be, like, a blindly pro Pac-12 homer, I'd say, we don't need Colorado. It's not a loss. They stink at football. They did stink at football for a really, really long time.
They still kind of do stink. We don't know what the primary is going to look like. But yeah, to your point, go ahead.
Yes, but so they were, you know, a bottom feeder in the conference. And so on the surface, you know, why does a bottom feeder leaving the conference affect it so much? It's not so much about that move, mm-hmm. but what the move could mean for others and the momentum it creates right. and the perception that it creates for the conference and such. But do I, you know, lament the loss of Colorado in a big way? Not particularly. I mean, they appeared in one conference championship game, and that's it. They did not win it. They got housed by Washington. And, you know, you made a great point, set me up for the question, which is Oregon, Washington, Utah have kind of been the ones carrying your conference anyway. Like, for all the talk about – and look, USC and UCLA, they're losses. There's no mm-hmm. no way around that. But I think the perception of what it means for the quality of football or the depth of the teams in the league is overblown. What's not overblown is the impact on the media rights deal, the conference's future, the perception of it, and everything like that. But to say, oh, the conference is terrible now. You don't have USC, UCLA, and Colorado. They have one conference championship – between them,
the three
in
them.
What 12 years of the league's existence, they have one combined, and they've only appeared in a couple. Like Colorado's appeared in one, UCLA's been in two, I think USC has been in three. One of them was the COVID year, which I don't count, even though my Ducks won it. Like that didn't feel like a conference championship. So that was, you know, that narrative I don't think is popping up a ton right now. If the conference is able to stabilize, I think it will. Say, oh, without USC, UCLA, and Colorado. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? They have one title between them. Utah's won two in a row. They've been to each of the last four full-season Pac-12 football championships. Oregon's got three. Washington's got two. Stanford has got the most Pac-12 championships of anybody in the conference. Now, it's a different world of college football. I understand that. But to say that these schools, from a football, just a football standpoint, have been carrying the league for a long time is factually inaccurate.
Spencer McLaughlin joining us, host of the Locked On Pac-12 podcast. And Spencer, the biggest storyline with what's kind of laying out there for the Pac-12 is what the future is going to hold. And Michelle and I, earlier on in today's show, kind of came to we both agree that the statement the Pac-12 put out said that we're going to get our media rights deal and then aggressively address expansion feels like it's backwards. What do you think?
Well, with regards to the statement that they're going to get the media rights deal done, what I keep coming back to is, you ever see that old cartoon where Lucy puts the football down for Charlie Brown?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, the Pac-12 is Lucy here, and people who think the deal is going to get done, you know, imminently, as they've been saying for a long time, they're all Charlie Brown, because they just keep putting the football down. And, you know, months ago, this was in March. I remember this one a little bit more clearly compared to some of the other storylines and everything that's all just kind of blending together. There were comments from Pac-12 presidents and athletic directors that were indicating very clearly a media deal was about to get done, because they were saying things like 2 weeks. They were mm-hmm. saying things like end of the month. They were saying things like, yeah, this is going to wrap up. We're about to be done. And then when that didn't happen and it got bumped out to June, that's when I threw up my hand and said, look, I'm not going to run up and kick that football anymore until I can see that there's a robotic arm that is holding it like I had when I was a kicker in middle school, which is an uninteresting tidbit about me that everybody had to hear. So I just look at what, you know, they keep saying, and I'm like, give me a Marshawn Lynch quote here. I'm about that action, boss. Like, words mean absolutely nothing at this point in time. But to your point about them doing it backwards, I am perplexed why every single other conference expands and then does media rights. I am unclear, and maybe it's a logistical or technical hurdle with whoever one of their media rights partners is. Perhaps Amazon or Apple is causing it to go this way? I don't know. But every other conference in America is able to expand and then get a deal done later. The Big 12 announced their four new expansion teams, including BYU with UCF, Houston, and Cincinnati. They announced that, what, like a couple months after Texas and Oklahoma announced they were departing in July 2021? Like, and then the media deal, which ended up being just an extension of their previous deal with different teams factored in, to be fair, that got done October 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So the Pac-12's continued insistent, like, the SEC signed their deal after they announced Texas and Oklahoma. The Big Ten signed their deal after they announced USC, UCLA. I don't understand why, when San Diego State and SMU have been your top options for so long, you can't announce them as schools and then go get your media rights deal done. And that's a question that, you know, calls into question what the deal could actually be, whether they're going to be able to actually get a deal. But all the reporting from legitimate reporters has been that they're capable of getting a deal. It's just a matter of finding the right deal. But they just keep doing this backwards. And their latest statement as a conference said that, you know, that's the way they want to do it. It's sign the media deal, grant of rights, and then expansion. And I just wonder if they had announced expansion first and then gone to get the media rights deal, if it wouldn't have created enough momentum to stop schools from feeling like they had to leave the way that Colorado did and that Arizona might.
All right. Well, we will leave it right there. I think that's a good way to end it, Spencer. But yes, you and I need to get out on the golf course soon. We'll have to get down and maybe try out, you know, Black Desert or something like that. But
hey, if you want to take me out to Black Desert, I got it on the radio right here. Jake's Treat, Black Desert.
Let's just put it this way. We have some connections down there. We may be able to work in our favors. We'll work on that. But nonetheless, a big thank you for carving out some time to join us here on the Saturday show, and we'll do it again soon, all right?
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me on. And with regards to what you just said there at the end, you have my phone number.
We'll take care of you. No problem. All right, there you go. Spencer McLaughlin, Locked On Pac-12 podcast, as well as Locked On Ducks. I think he makes a very good point there. Like, it could have created some momentum. But
it could have.
Going back to our original conversation, you're just kind of sitting on hands yet again.
Yeah. The Pac-12 needs to make a splash somehow. Yeah. Somehow, some way.
And they had a way to do it, as Spencer points out. And now it's you're going to expand. We're doing this thing.
Mm-hmm. And by splash, I mean action.
Yeah,
there needs to be action. The splash is the action.
It's an actionable step.
Not words saying that eventually you might take some action.
Yeah. Very good point.
Done and over. Do something.
It's baffling. Honestly.
It is. It's baffling. It's exhausting. Obviously, I'm a little frustrated by this.
All of us are. Let's be real. Come on.
Like, guys, I just want to focus on the fun things, which is football games and the stories that come from that. I don't want to deal with this nonsense anymore. So just do something. And, right or wrong, do something.
And they're very close to running the risk of having everything that is accomplished on the field this season
overshadowed. Overshadowed.
Which it could be a really, really fun year. But let this linger.
We digress.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back on the other side. We'll get to 5 minutes up. Got some other topics we need to hit on today's show. We'll get to all that next. This is the Saturday show right here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Welcome back to the Saturday show right here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. By the way, your bump back music today, Christian, I haven't said this earlier, it's been elite. Well done, sir. All right. You know, one day we're actually going to have like actual rejoins for this show. But until then, you can enjoy some great music. There'll be music involved with it anyways. But
yeah.
Okay, Michelle, so time for 5 minutes. I need to cover some of the other topics out there in the college / pro sports arenas out there. Wanted to start off a couple of notes in terms of the NFL real quick. Training camps are open.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Herbert just got major money. $262.5 million. The guy that they expect to top him is Joe Burrow, and they're expecting that at some point here in the relatively near future. Well, like a day later, Joe Burrow goes and jacks up his calf.
Oh. Oh, Joe Burrow.
He's got a calf strain. Now, severity of it has not been listed. His coach, Zach Taylor, did say that he's going to be out several weeks, but several goes from anywhere between, like, 3 weeks, and so
I would say to about 7.
It'll be interesting. Like that's the thing about it is like he's going to still make the money. Like there's no doubt. Like Joe Burrow, outside of Patrick Mahomes, might be the best quarterback in the league, in my opinion. Now Justin Herbert is not a bad quarterback. I honestly feel like Herbert could lead the Chargers to some pretty special stuff. The problem is, I think he's got a head coach who doesn't understand in-game strategy and has cost his team. But we'll see.
We will see. I never really was that enamored with Justin Herbert.
What he showed at Oregon versus what he showed in the pros are like two very different things.
Yeah. I certainly don't think his situation's been helped. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
I still have not been as hot on him as mm-hmm. others have been. But yeah, no, the situation with the Chargers definitely has not helped. You have to have some pieces.
Now, I assume you saw this. Did you see that Aaron Rodgers signed a new deal with the Jets that he gave up? Is it it's $35 million, right? He had $110 million in guarantees remaining on his deal that was traded with him from the Packers to the Jets. He signed a new deal. It's a fully guaranteed 2-year, $75 million deal. Like, I know you grew up a Packers fan.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make you feel any sort of way that he willingly gave back $35 million to the Jets? Now, I'm assuming there's going to be a makeup somewhere because you're not just... Here, out of the goodness of my heart, please have $35 million back. But does that irk you at all as a Packers fan?
No, because I'm probably one of the few and far between Packers fans that ended up not liking him very much and liking Brett Favre very much. They're great football players, but mm-hmm. outside of that, and I kind of care about how you handle yourself outside of football too. So,
he's an eccentric character. Let's just put that.
Yeah. You know, it'll be interesting to see. You're right. I don't think at all he's given that money back out of the goodness of his heart. I think the stipulation there is you're going to get me some pieces to work with this, and I'm going to have input since I gave you my money back.
He's already had input, but yeah, to your point,
yeah.
Yes.
It just further cements that, hey, Pac-12, take some notes. Like,
I am the captain now.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you call some shots.
Mm-hmm.
Just FYI.
Well, and that's the thing about this is it's going to be interesting because the Jets are going all in.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is they are pushing chips into the middle of the table. Now they do have pieces like Quinnen Williams, who they just signed to a big money deal. He looks like outside of Aaron Donald, he may be the best defensive tackle in the league. Like, and Aaron Donald's getting up there, and who knows how long Donald is going to keep going. They've got pieces that are young pieces, but when you bring in an Aaron Rodgers who's 39. You're pushing chips in right now,
yeah.
And saying we're chasing it. And they had a defense last year that was very, very good. Now the offense really held them back, and a lot of that falls at the feet of the quarterback derby they had going on. Zach Wilson wasn't good enough. Now there are people saying in training camps that Zach Wilson looks like night and day different. Is that because of Aaron Rodgers? Is that because Zach is now in a less stressful position as the number two? Who knows?
Yeah, there's probably a combo of reasons there. I'm sure less stress helps. I think there's maybe a bit of, oh, crap. Like,
oh, yeah.
I done screwed this pooch. And there's some embarrassment there. I mean, you made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You were taken number two overall. You didn't perform like that at all. You know, there's some expectations that come with that. And then you got benched for a guy that nobody's heard of.
Yeah.
And now you're benched for, I mean, kind of an all-time great because you can't be trusted to do the job.
Yeah. Well,
like, I mean, that has to hurt. And so if that lights a fire under his butt to, you know, start doing better and maybe living up to some of that potential, then that's what it is. But it also could be too little too late.
Yeah, no doubt. It's NFL training camps are always funny to me because we actually get a – so I think we have the – NFL Hall of Fame game is a week from Thursday, I think, is when that Hall of Fame game goes. And all of a sudden, we're going to start, obviously, overreacting to preseason games.
Totally. Totally, because we're rational people.
But we're so starved from actual like football action that it's like, ah, yes.
Oh, my gosh. The bottom feeder of the league. They're going to be great this year.
Yeah.
Probably not.
It's one of those really weird deals. A couple other notes here. Real Salt Lake is in the midst of their League's Cup run here. Now, they took on Monterrey, and I was on the call. They played their first two group games of this tournament. They smashed Seattle last week. It was 3-0. They absolutely just dominated in every facet of the game. But then Wednesday night, Monterrey, one of the traditional giants of Liga MX, one of the best teams in Mexico, came to America First Field and in the first 22 minutes absolutely handed it to RSL.
I saw that.
But
that's,
and Christian, you were producing this game. RSL missed, I don't know, 5-6 really good looks on goal. They could have scored.
And not just missed, but like hit the crossbar.
Yeah.
Inches
Chicho
away.
Chicho hit the crossbar. Brian Vera had a header that he headed down so hard that it went off the turf and over the goal from about 3 yards away. The angle of that, like the whole physics of it, I'm like, how did that happen?
Do that?
Anyways.
I dare you to do that again.
So now RSL has to wait for Seattle and Monterrey, who play tomorrow. And as long as Seattle doesn't beat Monterrey by 4 goals, RSL is moving on. We'll see where they play, who they play. It's looking like they're going to play Club León out of Liga MX. It'd be next Friday based on the early schedule I was told about.
Mm-hmm.
But the fun thing about this is I think that game against Monterrey, RSL had won 11 straight. They were 11,
right.
They won 11. They were unbeaten 11 straight since late May until losing to Monterrey. Monterrey is... they're number 2 in their league right now down there in Mexico. I think it showed RSL, okay, we're not necessarily that bad. We got beat 3-0. It doesn't look good on the scoreline, but the chances RSL generated in that show that, okay, we can compete. The question is, can you actually win against the top of Liga MX?
Yeah. You know, it's too bad that they don't give points for hitting the crossbar or, you know, bouncing a ball after heading it over the goal. You know, those are some things, like I said, I dare you to do it again.
Yeah, and it's just interesting. This whole tournament deal, it's interesting because there's a lot of thought out there that Major League Soccer has gained ground on Liga MX just in terms of the overall league.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Lionel Messi is over there with Inter Miami scoring goals in bunches. Like, I'm telling you, I expected this. Like, people are out there, it's bad for the league that Messi's doing what he's doing. I'm like, is it, or is it that he is going to literally force Major League Soccer teams to actually upgrade their talent to be able to defend guys like him who want to come over here and play?
I will tell you what my competitive hip-hop teacher once said.
Okay.
So my last year doing it, they kind of let everybody into the top class.
Okay.
Everybody got a gold star. Everybody got to be in advanced hip-hop. Not everybody should have been in advanced hip hop. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
There were like 3 or 4 of us that like were on it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else, hot mess. Like, I mean, we had to change very simple things in order for them to look good.
To accommodate them.
Because they couldn't. And there was one practice that we had where we had to critique each other. And one of the girls, it was like the 4 of us that were actually like on top of it, belonged in that class.
Okay.
Her critique was, they're going too hard and it doesn't look right. And the teacher said, no, you need to match their energy.
You got to catch up.
Yeah. And I think that's what we're seeing in MLS. Like, it's why should you dumb the product down when instead you should be upgrading?
Yeah.
Well, and that either means current people are putting in more work to get up to that level, or you go and you find that talent and you bring it in.
Well, and that's going to be the interesting part. I think Real Salt Lake has proven that they're in the game now. They've spent a club record $14 million this transfer window with, by the way, more money coming. They recently just signed another kid, a youth national team star. He's going to play for the Real Monarchs, their minor league team to start at least, but they're in it. Chicho Arango, by the way, and a lot of people out there, when I mention soccer, they're just, I'm out. Chicho Arango is worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
Dude's awesome. Like, RSL has not had a guy of his caliber since Alvaro Saborillo. Well, when did Sabo leave? It's been a decade.
Yeah, you said it's been a while, which blew my mind. I thought that was fairly recent.
It feels like it, though, but it's been a minute. So, it's fun to see RSL actually back in the games, so to say, and have money behind them. They were kind of just treading water there for a long time.
Yeah.
With the whole, we need to sell the club, new guys coming in, then you're getting their, you're just, it's good to have them on the right footing finally.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens. It's looking like they could play Club León, like I mentioned, and that's another chance like to face off against a Mexican. And Mexico has far deeper rosters, overall money investment. Like, it's just
they've just worked on it way longer than we have in the U.S.
Well, yeah.
Point blank.
Yeah. So, interesting. But it just, that's the thing about this is that I think Messi, yes, he is 36 years old. He is still maybe the greatest player in the world right now. And he is going to score lots of goals in Major League Soccer. I've got no doubt about that. Like, There's a scenario here next month, Michelle, where RSL, if they beat Houston in that U.S. Open Cup semifinal, and Inter Miami with Messi goes to Cincinnati and wins, Real Salt Lake's hosting Lionel Messi and Inter Miami in the U.S. Open Cup final at America First Field. I want to say Rio Tinto Stadium. It's now America First Field. But
right. That
would be awesome.
Oh, insane.
Yeah.
It would be insane.
Can you imagine the ticket prices for that?
Hello, Oakland A's.
But you don't even have to, like, you don't have to purposely price them high.
Yeah, it's not to, like, try and thwart a protest.
One of those weird things. But, yeah, so it'll be interesting. I am interested to see. It's fun to have RSL back just competing.
Like, yeah. Well, I mean, like, early on, I mean, like, right out of the gate, once Real Salt Lake was even a thing here, mm-hmm. They were competing.
They won that title in 2009.
You know, so it kind of was really disappointing when they took that nosedive. And, of course, we all know that sports are cyclical.
Yes.
And people have their moments. And then, you know, some take a bigger nosedive than others. But, like, you know, not everybody stays on top for forever. Like, that's just impossible.
Yeah.
But I think it was a little bit disappointing to see kind of how far down Real Salt Lake fell. And hopefully they're on the rebound again.
Yeah, fun to see them climb. All right, we will come back on the other side, finish out this edition of the Saturday Show with some final thoughts. It's all coming up next right here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. To the Saturday Show here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. And Clinto Pete says this, Michelle. Nice flex by Michelle, by Bodkin KSL Sports, though. I got skills, yo. Talking about your I got no doubt you have skills.
I did have skills. I probably look like one of those embarrassing moms now, quite frankly. Even though I don't have kids.
Okay, here's the thing. No.
But I'm old enough to be someone's mom.
Hey, great. That's a whole other element to this. But here's the thing. You did it for such a long time.
I
got no doubt that you'd be far more advanced than most people in that circumstance. Because you have the background in it. Even though you haven't done it a lot since, you'd still, at least you have the baseline there.
Here's the thing. I got a late start on dance compared to a lot of the people that I was with.
Got it.
I still ended up making advanced classes. So I caught up there. The flexibility thing was really kind of the thing that I don't think I excelled very well at because I didn't start super young.
Sure.
So a lot of people had that on me, but as far as picking up and learning choreography, easy, so easy. Being able to count, easy. Now don't ask me to add. That's a whole other story. Like, can't do that very well, but I can count.
All right.
But so it's one of those things. I never was a really good freestyler in any, like, I can't go out there and, like, dance around and make it look good. But if you teach me choreography, I will make that look good.
All right, there you go. Hey, I mad respect for that because it stresses me. Any of that, not my jam. I am your, like, the whitest of white boys over here. I will
hold. Play that funky music.
I can't even dance to that, Michelle. I am awful in that realm. So Mad respect, you got it. She's doing dance moves. This is why we need the, this is why we need like the live stream that they're considering putting in here at some point. That's what we need it for, no doubt about that.
Clown show. Clown show.
Yeah, so anyways, but good stuff all the same. All right, Michelle, any final thoughts from you as we wrap things up here?
Pac-12, do something. That's what I got.
Yeah. Well, and
do something or die. Like that's where we're at. As far as unless y'all know something that like you just really have not let any of us know, that's where we're at.
At this point, it feels like George Kliavkov maybe has like the biggest ace up his sleeve of anybody in conference realignment history. Or to your point, and it's hard to say that like do something or die, but those really feel like. It's going one of two ways here. Like, either you're... And Stuart Mandel tweeted this out, and I'm going to read it real quick on the way out the door. Just one dynamic of play, and it's something that we've talked about today. One dynamic of play regarding the Pac-12. Their presidents have long been the most ivory tower. They've passed on schools, Boise State, the entire Big 12, that would have helped them. Do they grasp the urgency this time? This round of expansion is not about prestige. It's about survival. Okay, and we all know that the Pac-12, they've always said you need to be AAU member. You need to be a research tier one institution. Like, all that's out the window at this point. Get who you can get and just live to fight another day, really.
Here's the thing. Every conference has their bottom feeders.
Yes.
You have a great core.
Uh-huh.
You, despite the departures, you have a great core. And you have some other teams with great potential.
Mm-hmm.
Just get some bottom feeders to fill out, flush out. Maybe they'll rise up. Maybe they won't. Not your problem.
Yeah.
But keep it together.
Live to fight another day. That it's all you've got to focus on right now. This next week should be interesting because we'll start to see some reporting coming out, I'm sure, of some variety.
I mean, they better say something. they better say something.
They've got to, no doubt. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Saturday Show. So for Michelle, I'm Jake, and for Christian, thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week. This has been the Saturday Show on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone.